Welcome to ConExpo ConAg Radio, brought to you by the Association of Equipment Manufacturers with your host, Peggy Smedley.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to ConExpo ConAg Radio. I am your host, Peggy Smedley. My next guest is responsible for the growing and managing a suite of hardware and software products, including Daqri's 4D Studio and Daqri's Smart Helmet. So please welcome Matt Camerat, Vice President of Innovation for Daqri. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Peggy. Nice to talk to you today.
Hey, Matt, it is exciting. I have to tell you, you guys have come up with a pretty cool idea talking about a smart connected helmet. I mean, thinking about keeping those job sites safe, what an awesome idea. So let's talk about the smart helmet.
Absolutely. How'd
you guys come up with that idea? I just think it's a great idea.
Sure. So we started about 5 years ago, and originally we thought that we could create just software for bringing augmented reality to industry and to the worksite. And ultimately what we found was that the first generation of hardware devices introduced into this marketplace just really were not built for the worksite. They weren't tools. You know, if anything, they were toys. And so we needed something that was going to fit side by side and integrate with, you know, the existing ecosystem of tools and technologies necessary for the modern job site. And ultimately, that meant starting from scratch. It meant taking out, you know, essentially a clean sheet of paper and thinking about how do we maximize the capability of the worker? How do we rethink what work could be when man and machine and worker and machine are brought more closely together in a more fluid way? And that's really from which we designed the Daqri Smart Helmet.
So that's a great question. Why do you think it's taken so long when you think about wearable technology and now you just talked about augmented reality? Why has it taken so long to kind of mesh that together and the ability to give the right information so that that job site's able to adopt it, you know? And the reason I ask this question is we always look, and I say this a lot of times, that the job site is slow to adopt, but in some ways, if it's the right tool, so to speak, the job site's the first one to say, I'm going to use it. And if it can save and safety's involved, the construction job site is going to be the first one to grab it. And I think you guys, they're going to gravitate to it. And I think you guys have come up with something that meshes all of those things together in a nice package.
We appreciate that. Yeah, ultimately, in terms of why no one kind of got there earlier, or why the technology didn't meet those needs, I think there are a couple pieces to it. The first one is that everyone is really dazzled by the consumer marketplace. And so when you look at the vast majority of other devices out there, in addition to trying to solve, you know, the challenges of industrial, the challenges of construction, they're also at the same time trying to solve things like entertainment and being a consumer cell phone replacement. And ultimately, you know, we think that's just a problem of constraints where you have to, you know, kind of choose one thing and do it really, really well, or you end up being sort of a watered down version for everyone. And ultimately, I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head in terms of adoption, which is, you know, the day that it is faster, better, easier, even more enjoyable to use, you know, that is the day that it's adopted on the job site. But prior to that point, if it's something that's kludgy, if it's something that's difficult to integrate, if it's something that's more cumbersome or takes longer than however that task is being done today, no one's going to use it.
And it's an interesting thing you mentioned about the consumer marketplace, because I think that's where this wearable market is kind of shaping out, because there's so many wearables, but finding the right niche for the right wearable is where it gets accepted. And I think you've done that. And I think when you look about it, a powerful impact in the construction space is in every wearable. It's not going to be a wearable for all things to all people. It's the wearable that has the right niche. And I think that's what we're talking about here. And talking about the safety features, walk us through what makes this have safety features that are going to alert? I mean, I look at this right now. Anytime you can have something that can alert, you know, a worker on the site that, you know, something's going to happen, and not only alert him or her on the job site, but others, you've done something that if we can eliminate a fatality or an injury, oh my gosh, that's huge. That's significant. I mean, we lose way too many people, and too many people get hurt on the job site. And one reducing one injury is significant. I mean, that's powerful stuff.
Absolutely. And first and foremost, we took the perspective that you can't take a step backwards on safety. So, looking at what the smart helmet is to begin with, it is a personal protective device right out of the box. It's one that, meets and exceeds the safety requirements for the current standard of equipment. And for us, that was, foundational. It was something that, we weren't going to get out the door without addressing that. But then what you're talking about really, leverages both the sensors on the smart helmet. And for those not familiar with it, it also has a see-through display, which gives the user the sense of being, somewhat like Iron Man or RoboCop as sort of a cultural reference that people are aware of. But what that allows you to do is have this additional sense of awareness of things around you and to leverage those sensors almost as extensions of your existing natural senses. So what I mean by that is you don't have eyes in the back of your head, unless you're a mother, you might in that case. But in
That's
most
right,
cases,
only
you
moms.
Don't have eyes in the back of your head. But what the smart helmet does is it has a camera in the rear. And what it allows you to do is whether it's actively, displaying the output of that camera or passively just keeping an awareness of what is a safe distance from a piece of equipment, from an edge, from any sort of potential safety issue. And having an alert system that's adaptive so that as you get closer to those potential issues, that alert gets more and more intrusive in terms of taking over your field of view, in terms of, light and sound and making sure that user is aware and fully cognizant of the fact that they're approaching a dangerous situation. And we know that on the job site, these dangerous situations are actually, critical work environments. So there are going to be times where, that alert is simply a background recognition of something that person already knows. But for a lot of these incidents, especially caught between, especially falls, it's a lack of awareness. And ultimately, that's what the smart helmet brings.
My question to you is, in segment one, I was talking about, that when we look at the reports that come out from OSHA, that there's over, there's 4,600 workers killed on the job. That's nearly 90 workers a week and more than 13 deaths every day. So were you guys doing research at how you're able to use this to help prevent or do something? If you're talking a personal protective device here, it was there research that you're able to put out there that's saying we know how we're going to be able to prevent injuries or death by doing something like this, using sensors that's going to provide real-time information?
Yes, absolutely. And it was really one of the foundational kind of design elements that we went in with. In meeting with potential customers and working with people using our software, safety was always bubbling to the top of the list. Safety is a huge priority across, a wide variety of industries. But anywhere that you've got, people interacting with heavy equipment, it's especially, pregnant with opportunity for issues to arise. And so ultimately, what we think the smart helmet does is provides a guidance system, provides, sort of a bubble of safety, much the same way that we think driver assisted or autonomous vehicles will. So much like a few years from now, we think people will, look at vehicles and say, boy, we were really not very good at driving those on the open highway. And, that really caused, many deaths and countless injuries. We think people are going to look at going to the job site without a smart helmet the same way. And people are going to wonder, how did I ever, kind of enter that precarious scenario of not having that situational awareness and not being connected to the ecosystem of equipment. Because the other thing the smart helmet can do is without the person taking any action, it can talk to that equipment and say, hey, there's a person here, shut down your capability to move backwards. Develop an envelope or a geofence that the piece of equipment cannot enter into near the smart helmet, such that those incidents are not just likely prevented, but in fact impossible to happen.
So please tell me that people are going to be trained on these, because I like to think in autonomous vehicles, we have some knowledge before people get in these vehicles. I know that they'll be driving and people think they're all by themselves, and we're at level 2 in autonomous vehicles right now versus getting to level 5. But the same thing with these helmets, you've got some great training that goes on with some of these helmets.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, our first wave of partners that we're working with, too, are then also a secondary force that are going out and training on our behalf to a broader audience, since, you know, we're only 300 people as of the current time. But we have a smart helmet orientation center here at our locations, where we'll walk people through that first-time experience and kind of set off that multiplier effect of then sending people out to train others. But ultimately, you know, the important thing to remember here is that the helmet itself can do a lot of that training and testing. So because the helmet can guide you through, you know, processes and operations, one of the things it can guide you through is learning how to use it. And so it actually has sort of a persona within it that walks you through that process and starts with very simple procedures, understanding how to navigate content, understanding how to launch apps within the helmet. And then gradually, as it can tell that you're acquiring those skills, steps up the complexity of what you're presented, so that as you become more of an expert, the helmet adapts to that. So it's not continuing to feed you that basic information, that, you know, really low-level training, once you're, you know, an expert who's performed the function with the helmet many, many times. And we think that sort of adaptive training is really the future, not just for the helmet, but for training and content and testing in general.
Well, I have to tell you, Matt, I'm truly inspired by this, and I know we've run out of time here, but will you come back and share with us some really great examples of how you've used this in the field? Because I know there are listeners out there going, I want to know how I can get this helmet and learn more about it, but I know you've had a very busy schedule, and we tried to really work around it, but will you come back and share more with us?
Absolutely. I would love to. And just to tease that, one of the folks we're working with to build stuff out is building the Hyperloop. So a very exciting use case, you know, that we can talk about next time.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt, so much for being with us. Listeners, we're out of time, but stick around. We've got more to talk about right here on ConExpo, ConAg Radio, brought to you by the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. If it's new, it's here, and we'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to WS Radio. Improve your business and your life with useful information from experts and thought leaders. WS Radio is radio with ROI.
You take your smartphone almost everywhere you go. Now WSRadio.com can be there too. Search WS Radio in the Play Store for your Android devices or iTunes for Apple, and download the WS Radio application. WSRadio.com, on your phone and in your ear, everywhere you go. Download the WS Radio application. Do it now. It's very easy. WSRadio.com.
Gotham Books presents Marriage Rules by Harriet Lerner. The book Martha Beck calls required reading for anyone hoping to interact successfully with any other human, not just for those in romantic relationships. Get your copy wherever books and ebooks are sold, and visit harrietlerner.com to learn how to change your marriage today.
The richness of your life is reflected in the shimmering elegance found at D.O. Loon Design. One-of-a-kind jewelry and pieces from Cynthia Dillon in silver and gold help to express your unique personality. The flowing designs of her creations will empower the way you move throughout your day. Join us online at diolundesigns.com.
Small businesses are the lifeblood of America's economy. Every Thursday, SBA Radio interviews industry professionals and is dedicated to provide small businesses with timely insights and innovations. Visit www.sbaradio.us for details.
Hi, Scale listener. This is David Finkel, co-host with Jeff Hoffman of Scale Your Business. I wanted to let you know that our newest book, Scale, was just released and to encourage you to get your copy. The book will give you 7 proven principles to grow your business and get your life back. If you've ever wanted to grow your business, but held yourself back from fear that it would take over your life, then we urge you to get your copy of Scale today. It'll give you a proven roadmap for rapidly growing your business while also gaining more personal freedom. Scale will help you work less by getting your business to produce more. Scale is for every entrepreneur who ever wondered if they really own their business or if their business owns them. Get your copy online or at your local bookseller. For more information, visit us online at scaleyourbusinesstoolkit.com. That's scaleyourbusinesstoolkit.com.